Good morning. Welcome to St. Mark's Lutheran Church. A big welcome to all of our visitors as well. If you have any questions, feel free to ask one of the ushers or one of us. We're a pretty friendly bunch. So welcome. Today is the seventh Sunday after Pentecost, and today is actually a very special day here at St. Mark's. We get to celebrate VBS Sunday. So we'll look at the theme and what we looked at this past week at Vacation Bible School. The theme was, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. And it all focused on 1 Corinthians 15:58. We have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So you'll see that reflected throughout the hymns, readings, sermon, all of it. We begin our worship with our hymn, Children of the Heavenly Father. May God bless your worship this morning. Please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children. But we have disobeyed Him and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, He has removed your guilt forever. You are His own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to His will. Amen.
Thank you.
us pray. God of all power and might, you are the giver of all that is good. Help us love you with all our heart. Strengthen us in true faith. Provide us with all we need, and keep us safe in your care. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated. The first lesson this morning comes from 2 Kings chapter 22, verses 8 through 20. This was the lesson on day 3 of VBS. Here we see that God's word gives Josiah the victory that he needed. This will also serve as the sermon text for today. From 2 Kings 22. Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the secretary, "I have found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord." He gave it to Shaphan, who read it. And Shaphan the secretary went to the king and reported to him, "Your officials have paid out the money that was in the temple of the Lord and have entrusted it to the workers and supervisors at the temple." Then Shaphan the secretary informed the king, "Hilkiah the priest has given me a book." And Shaphan read from it in the presence of the king. When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his robes. He gave these orders to Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam son of Shaphan, Achbor son of Micaiah, Shaphan the secretary, and Azaiah the king's attendant, "Go and inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah about what is written in this book that has been found. Great is the Lord's anger that burns against us because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book. They have not acted in accordance with all that is written there concerning us." Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam, Achbor, Shaphan, and Azaiah went to speak to the prophetess Huldah, who was the wife of Shallum, son of Tikva, the son of Harhas, keeper of the wardrobe. She lived in Jerusalem in the second district. She said to them, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Tell the man who sent you to me, this is what the Lord says. I am going to bring disaster on this place and its people, according to everything written in the book the king of Judah has read. Because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods and provoked me to anger by all the idols their hands have made, my anger will burn against this place and will not be quenched. Tell the king of Judah who sent you to inquire of the Lord, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says concerning the words you heard. Because your heart was responsive, and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I have spoken against this place and its people, that they would become accursed and laid waste, and because you tore your robes and wept in my presence, I have heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore, I will gather you to your fathers, and you will be buried in peace. Your eyes will not see all the disaster I am going to bring on this place." So they took her answer back to the king. The word of the Lord. We'll join together in the psalm of the day, Psalm 46.
Thank you. A second lesson this morning also reflects the theme of VBS, that a mighty fortress is our God, where we see Paul talk about how God gives us the victory over everything, even death, through our Lord Jesus. From 1 Corinthians 15. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. The word of the Lord. The verse of the day comes from Luke chapter 8, verse 15. Alleluia. Happy are they who hear the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bring forth fruit with patience. Alleluia. Please stand in honor of the works of Jesus. The gospel for this morning shows us Jesus' victory, the account of it when he died on the cross and rose from the dead. Luke chapter 23 and from 24 as well. It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, for the sun stopped shining. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out in a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, Surely this was a righteous man. When all the people who had gathered to witness this saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men dressed in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you,
way, be seated. And if there are any children, they can come forward and actually meet me up at the front step today.
Oh, you can actually come up here to the steps today. Thank you. Go ahead and take a seat, wherever you can find one. All right. Got some room over here. You can even sit on the floor if you want, if that's easier too. All right. How's everybody doing today?
Good.
Good. Good to see you. Let me ask you a question. Do you guys like to win, or do you guys like to lose?
Win and lose.
Win and lose? Really? So you don't mind losing? Okay, well, that's good. A good sport there, being raised. That's good to see.
I like winning.
You like winning, yeah. Why do you like winning?
Because.
Yeah, right. It's just because, right? We like winning. Winning is more fun, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What feeling do you have when you lose?
Okay.
Okay, right? Just not good, right? You kind of feel sad?
Not
really? Okay. Well, good for you. That's good. Yeah. Well, sometimes we have these, sometimes we play a game. Do you guys like to play board games?
Yeah.
Do you guys like to play video games? What about sports?
Yeah.
Right? Lots of different games that we can play, and sometimes we might face people that that are better than us. Do you ever have that happen? Do you have an older brother or a sister or a cousin or a friend that just seems to be better than you? And you just can't beat them, and every time you face them, you get that sad feeling that, okay, I guess I lose. You and I face that a lot, and actually we face that too when we think about our enemies, the devil, sin, and death. We have a lot of times when you and I lose to them. But you know what happened? No, I think you do. What God did when we faced those enemies, those big enemies that we couldn't beat, we couldn't win, he sent Jesus. And Jesus beat them for us. And so now we get to win. We have that victory in Jesus. So let's pray and thank Jesus for that. Lord Jesus, thank you for winning our victory on the cross. Forgive us for the times when we lose, when we let ourselves lose. Lord, give us the strength to live so that we can beat sin and always look to you, who ultimately defeated Satan, sin, and death for us. We ask all of this in your name. Amen. You guys can go back to your seats, and we'll continue with the hymn of the day, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God.
Thank you.
mercy and peace are yours, thanks to God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, our mighty fortress. Amen. The sermon text for this morning comes from 2 Kings chapter 22, the first lesson for today, which you've already heard read. Let us begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your victory. Amen. I've been told that I'm a competitive person. I think it's true. I think my wife would agree too. You know why I think it's true? Because when I win at something, I get that feeling of a victory rush over my heart, that yes! You know, and sometimes you try to hold it in, but it's obvious, or sometimes you don't try to hold it in, you just let it be known, yes, I won. You know why I know it's true as well? Because the opposite is true too. I'm not as admirable as some of the kids that were just up here. When I lose, boy, that feeling of defeat. Have you ever felt that? That twisting, heart-wrenching feeling of defeat, that ache, that pain. That's a tough feeling to have, isn't it? That feeling where you just, if I would have done something differently, or if I would have done this or that, or not done this, that feeling of defeat is difficult. Especially spiritually. You ever have that feeling spiritually? I think we all have. You know, this week for VBS, we talked about a lot of things that threaten us in this life. We looked at the Bible story and talked about the walls of Jericho and how we have these big enemies that we try to overcome, but we just can't. We talked about King Hezekiah looking out in Jerusalem and seeing the Assyrian army threatening him, and he was overcome by fear. Fear defeated him, and how you and I can sometimes fear in this world too. We have fear about our well-being, our kids' well-being. We doubt God's care, and those fears defeat us. We also talked about how Satan tempts us into sin, and how you and I, it just seems that he knows you and I. Those little sins that just seem to have our number, that get the best of us every time, and we have that feeling of defeat. Well, today we're going to look at a lesson, which is the lesson from day 3 of VBS. And in this lesson, God is going to reveal to us something about sin and defeat, something that often gets forgotten. The lesson from day 3 that you heard read in our first lesson was about King Josiah. King Josiah had a very interesting life. He had not a normal upbringing, to say the least. His grandpa was one of the worst kings in the history of Israel. His grandpa set up all of these idols to Baal and Asherah, just like the evil kings before him. He told people to worship the stars instead of the one who created them. He set up all of these altars to all of these false gods in the temple, and he did a lot of other really unspeakable things. He let the people be defeated by Satan and sin. And his son, Josiah's dad, was just as bad. In fact, he was so bad that his reign was pretty short because his officials organized his assassination. That's how bad he was. And then they made Josiah king at the solid age of 8 years old. 8 years old, he took the reins of this broken, defeated kingdom. For 8 years, he probably ruled a lot like his grandfather and father did. But then at the age of 16, something happened. We're not sure what. We aren't told in the Bible, but it says at age 16, he started to seek the Lord. In other words, he came to faith. And he bided his time until age 20, because age 20 was the time, the age in the Hebrew culture, where they felt like a boy was ready to take up a grown man's work. So then he started to take some of the idols to Baal, Asherah, to the stars, all of it. He started to take them all out. And he started to clean up the temple so that the people could focus once again on what the temple was all about.
But as the priests were doing this, they made a very interesting discovery. Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the secretary, "I have found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord." He gave it to Shaphan, who read it. When Shaphan the secretary informed the king, "Hilkiah the priest has given me a book." And Shaphan read from it in the presence of the king. This book, the book of the law, that was a name given to the first five books of the Bible: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. First five books of the Bible. They were written by Moses, and they detailed how God chose the Israelites to bring forth the Savior for all nations. It was a two-way agreement, this law. God would be their God. He would protect them. He would nourish them with his word. He would give them everything they needed to prosper so that they could be ready for the coming Savior, and they had to be his people, a two-way covenant with God. And in order to help them and protect them, he gave them laws and regulations to keep them together as a nation. He even gave them all of these specific rules and procedures for the temple, which were all these pictures that pointed forward to the coming Savior so that they could be ready for when he came. But in this book, he also warned them about punishment. He told them, since this is a two-way covenant this nation had with God, if you disobey God, he would punish you. He will wipe you away from all the nations. That's what he told them. So here we are, 800 years later, and Josiah's priests find this book. And they give it to the secretary, and the secretary says, "Hey, the priests found this book in the temple." That's how bad things got. They didn't even recognize the word of the Lord. The sins of his grandfather and his father had led the people into defeat that much that they didn't even know. And when it was read, you can understand that feeling that Josiah had, that twisting, heart-wrenching ache of defeat. Because he knew that they did not follow and hold up their end of the agreement. In fact, when the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his robes. That was a sign of deep sorrow and acknowledgement of sin. He knew, he recognized that they did not hold up. He knew that God was all-powerful, all-knowing, that he was holy, and that he held up his agreement, but the people didn't. And so he knew punishment was coming. That feeling of defeat was getting deeper, and he was wondering what was going to happen. So he gathers together this sort of delegation with his priest, his secretary, and a few others. That's where you heard all of those names that I read in the first lesson. Were you thinking to yourself, why do we care about who this person is and their father and their occupation and where they lived even? Even the prophetess Huldah, who they went to, we get all this information about her. Because what we have here is a formal delegation being sent. We have this almost sort of a courtroom hearing that you would get, and they wanted to know the verdict. So they sent representatives of the king, they sent representatives of the people, and representatives of the temple. And they all go to the prophet to find out, what is it? Guilty or not guilty? Victory or defeat? This is what the prophetess says. "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Tell the man who sent you to me, this is what the Lord says. I am going to bring disaster on this place and its people. According to everything written in the book of the law, the king of Judah has read. Because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods and provoked me to anger by all the idols their hands have made, my anger will burn against this place and will not be quenched." The verdict was in: guilty. Defeat. Were you thinking something was different was going to happen? This appeal that they made to God, you know that God is forgiving. Did you think he was going to forgive them? After all, Josiah rooted out all of these idols. Not God, not with this two-way agreement he had with the nation. No, God is just. He is serious about sin. He has to punish sin because he is good. You wouldn't want a judge that didn't punish sin. If you had a judge here in Citrus Heights sitting in the courtroom letting lawbreakers go, that wouldn't make you feel too good, would it? No, God is just. He has to punish sin. He is serious about sin. And that's what the Israelites found out. That's what Josiah found, is that twist, that heart-wrenching ache of defeat went even deeper. Are you getting worried right now? Do you have that heart-wrenching feeling of defeat? You think about the Israelites and their idols. Do you set up idols in your life? We all do. We set up idols of money, possessions, our time, sinful pleasures. We set up a number of idols. It might not be called Baal or Asherah, but we set them up. Is the Word of God a little dusty on your shelf? Have you forgotten that it's there for you to read? What good is a book if you don't read it? Or maybe in your heart right now you're thinking, oh, well, I do read my Bible. And you sort of set yourself up as an idol, almost like you're worshiping yourself and how you're better than others. Are you feeling that heart-wrenching ache of defeat? Maybe you're not. Maybe you're not feeling that ache because you think, well, I'm a Christian. I know that, well, if I go into a sin, God will forgive me later. And thereby you prove that you don't really know what God's word says about how serious he is about sin. You forget God's word just like the people did. Heart-wrenching ache of defeat is one that we all know well, and we know it. So what do? We can listen. And we can start by the rest of the message that God gave to Josiah, because he wasn't done. Huldah said to them, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Tell the king of Judah who sent you to inquire of the Lord, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says concerning the words you heard. Because your heart was responsive, and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I have spoken against this place and its people, that they would become accursed and laid waste, and because you tore your robes and wept in my presence, I have heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore I will gather you to your fathers, and you will be buried in peace. Your eyes will not see all the disaster I am going to bring on this place." God was going to punish the nation, but God was going to spare Josiah from seeing it. Maybe you're thinking, well, that's kind of a lukewarm victory, isn't it? But really, this is a different type of covenant that God is talking about now. This isn't that two-way covenant with Israel. No, this is God's covenant with Josiah. It's the same covenant he has with all people. It's a different type of covenant. Not a two-way, one-way. God to us. Nothing else about it. That's what Josiah knew, and we see that in the rest of his life, because the rest of his life, Josiah was going to dedicate himself to rooting out all of the idols in his land. He was even going to read the word of God to all of his people so that they could see it. Josiah knew something. What was it? What did he know? God gave him a message of peace. God gave him a message that said, "You will be gathered to your fathers." Not your evil father or evil grandfather, no. Your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Your fathers of faith. They knew. They knew even before the law wasn't enacted what God was going to do. See, that's what the temple was all about, and Josiah knew it. That's why he was trying to clean it up. All of those pictures were foretelling of somebody who was going to come. And he was going to show that, yes, God is serious about sin, but also that God forgives sin. God punishes sin and God forgives sin. How does that make sense? Isn't that a paradox? Yes. And it is the most beautiful paradox. And it is all over the pages of Scripture. Because 2,000 years ago, a man that we know as Jesus came and he showed on the cross that God's seriousness about sin met his seriousness about his love for us. On the cross is where God's justice in punishing sin met God's grace in forgiving sin. That's what Jesus was coming to do, and Josiah knew it. He was going to win every single victory that you and I usually have. He was undefeated, could not be defeated. Satan, goodbye. Temptations, they do nothing to Jesus. Sin, no. All those sins that you and I have, no, Jesus never had. He won our victory for us. And that twisting feeling of defeat that you and I have, he took it from us and he died with it. So now all that's left for you and me is that sweet taste of victory. That feeling inside that makes you go, yes! That one that you let know, you let people know what happened. You have that sin come, and there it is, that sin that usually has your number that defeats you. You can go, oh, what do I have here? I found a book. This book tells me that God is my mighty fortress, the one whom I can take refuge. This book tells me about, yeah, the walls of Jericho threatened Israel, but God knocked them down. This book tells me about the Assyrian army that threatened Hezekiah was destroyed. God overcame Hezekiah's fears. This book tells me about how Satan is no match for Jesus. This book tells me how sin is no match for Jesus. This book tells me that not even death is a match for Jesus. We heard it read in the gospel lesson. Sin and death, defeated. That's what Paul talked about in our epistle lesson. Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now you and I have that thrill, that rush inside of us. And we know why God would preserve his word for Josiah at that temple. Because it's powerful. It changes things, just like it did for Josiah. Thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, and his word reveals it. God's word reveals Christ's victory. Our victory. To God be the glory. Amen. Please stand. May the victory of our Lord Jesus guard your hearts and minds through faith in him until you have peace in heaven. Amen. We now join together and confess our faith in Christ's victory according to the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. This morning, in our special intercessions, we pray for all of those with health challenges, including Rick Covey, David Haugen, and Bev Heinitz. We also pray in thanks for those celebrating anniversaries, Steve and Marilyn Seal, who are celebrating 15 years of marriage, Brent and Michelle Sindorf celebrating 15 years of marriage, David and Suzanne Matthews celebrating 28 years, and Homer and Norma Carson celebrating 52 years of marriage. We also pray and thanks for all of those celebrating birthdays. Please stand for the prayer of the church on page 10. Lord God, our Maker and Preserver, we praise and thank you for all that you give us day after day.
We are not worthy of all the mercies you show us.
You have given us your precious word to nourish our souls and to protect us from the temptations of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature.
Thank you for those who teach and preach your saving truth at this place and everywhere. Grant them a rich measure of patience, wisdom, and love.
Heavenly Father, we pray that you shield us from every kind of danger, sudden catastrophe, terrors of crime, and the pain of disease. Watch over those who travel by land, sea, and air. Keep our loved ones from whatever perils may threaten them.
Heal those who are sick. Cheer those who are sad. Calm those who are distressed. And comfort all who are old and infirm.
Bless our land, our people, and those who hold offices of high trust. Keep our government and schools upright and strong for the advancement of good citizenship and useful vocations, that we may enjoy your gifts of peace, security, and well-being.
Grant your blessing to every nation on earth. Where there are wars, may there be peace. Where there is hatred, let it be healed. Where there is poverty, danger, or disaster, come with your almighty power to help and restore.
Gracious Father, please help everyone who is faced with health challenges this week. Be with them, their families, their doctors and nurses, and all others who are helping them shoulder this burden. Lift their spirits with the sacrifice of Christ, whose death made sure that someday all of these difficulties will vanish forever. Continue to bless all of those who are celebrating birthdays. Strengthen their faith to see your loving hand in their lives. Allow this day to be an opportunity for their continued thanks for your grace. Lord, we thank you for the love that began so many years ago for those now celebrating anniversaries. In your divine wisdom, allow both good days and bad to draw their hearts and lives closer to each other so that they may be an example of the love you have for all of us. Hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. We bring these requests before you in the name of Jesus our Lord and ask you to hear us. Take all that we have, our bodies and minds, our time and skills, our ministries and offerings, and use them to your glory.
We give ourselves to you that we may serve you in whatever way is pleasing in your sight. Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Now join together in the next hymn, Jesus Sinners Does Receive. You may be seated.
Amen.
please stand for prayer and the blessing? O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation, and bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
You may be seated now for our closing hymn, To God Be the Glory.
Coming to the Heart in Focus class. We're not in the gym anymore. We're across the way in the Luther room. A couple announcements to highlight. Of course, I'd encourage you to pick up a flyer and see all the weekly announcements, but I'm going to highlight a few for you this morning. First of all, Pastor Groth is looking to get a fall Bible information class started. Bible information class is the class for people new to St. Mark's that can lead them toward membership. It's also a great opportunity for our members to be refreshed in the fundamental teachings of God's Word. So Pastor Groth is looking for input as to which day of the week will work best for people. If you're interested in the class, please talk to him and share your input. And then members of our congregation are encouraged as well to think about attending. When we have new people going through that class, and then some solid members, it can be a great opportunity to solidify that connection and help those new people connect to St. Mark's. I'd like to highlight that we want to continue moving forward with Crossroads Phase 3. We wrapped up Phase 2, and now we're looking to get Phase 3 started up this fall. The good news is that of that $7,000 needed to start Phase 3, almost half of it has already come in. So if you're moved prayerfully to contribute to that cause, we'd encourage you to do so and help Crossroads move forward. Coming up on Saturday, August 12th, we're going to be having a big campus cleanup workday. More details will be coming, and we're going to try to put together a task list that people can actually sign up for individual tasks and hopefully kind of own some of the work. But it's a great opportunity to get the campus looking good for the new school year. And then we have Pastor Colander coming in early September, a great opportunity to put our best foot forward for him as well. Something new to share with you this morning. This came out of Crossroads. They advised us on thinking about doing something called an Ask Me About St. Mark's campaign. And we're going to be pursuing t-shirts with this Ask Me About St. Mark's idea. We put some yard signs together for our school. So I've got about 30 of these signs in the back underneath the school counter. They've got little stands that you can stick into the ground. If you'd be interested in putting one of these in your yard, it might be an opportunity to start up a conversation with someone in your neighborhood about our school. It might also, if nothing else, get them to our website and they can learn more that way. So if you'd like to take a sign, there's a little sign-up sheet back there. We're going to track who has these signs, and then in a month or two we'll follow up and see how many Ask Me About St. Mark's questions have been asked. Lastly this morning, we've got a video to share with you highlighting summer activities going back to basketball camp, man camp, Tree of Life Bible camp, and then most recently we just had a great week of vacation Bible school. Please turn your attention to the screens.